So we're going to pray and pray for John as he brings God's word to us this morning. And we're going to pray for ourselves as well. Father, thank you for the fact that you want to talk to us, that you're longing to communicate with us and just waiting for us to listen and to hear. So right now we just put everything else out of our minds so we can listen properly, attentively to you. We pray for John and thank you for him, for his voice that we will hear, but beyond that we want to hear Jesus speaking through him and through your word to us. Empower John now, we pray, by your Spirit, and give us ears to hear. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, John.
Well, I have to say I have tremendous respect for Mark as he does the marathon. Many years ago, when I was just a young fellow, I did a number of sponsored walks for different charities. And one of them, I think, and I may be wrong, but I think it was 15 miles that we did. And I actually still have the misshapen small toe, little toe on my foot to prove it. I don't know if that was my shoes or what it was, but it made a mess of my toe and it's never really quite been the same. So hopefully Mark will recover from this. We certainly wish him Godspeed, one might say, in his progress. It would be a good idea, I think, to turn to the Word of God before we do anything else. And we're reading today from John chapter 10 and from verse 11. Some of you may well be aware that there are a number of great I am statements that Jesus makes that John records in his gospel. He's the only one who does it. And John actually writes his gospel from a much more theological standpoint than the other gospel writers. The other gospel writers are more concerned with what Jesus did and where he went and how he healed people. And while, of course, that's still present in the gospel of John, John brings out much more the claims of Jesus as to who he is. And these great I am statements reflect John's desire that we will understand who Jesus is. And so we're going to read today from John chapter 10 from verse 11. And I'm actually going to usurp the system here and go to verse 21. So it may not be on the screen. It says, Jesus is speaking here. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? I don't know how much you know about sheep and shepherding. Josie and I are fans of the BBC programme Country File. Anybody here watch Country File? Look at that. We're all country file-aholics. And there's a lot on that programme, isn't there, about sheep. We were watching, actually this morning over breakfast, a Country File that we'd recorded, which was about Cumbria. Is it? North Cumbria, West Cumbria, whatever it was. And one of the breed of sheep was called a herdwick. And I'd never heard of the herdwick, but they're a particularly hardy sheep and they thrive on the very rugged terrain in that part of the country. And I thought it was interesting that there are different sheep for different regions. So the sheep in the south of England would be quite different from the sheep up in the north of England. The sheep in the south of England really wouldn't do very well in the north of England at all. And Jesus, in his words here, says that he's got other sheep that he wants to bring into the sheepfold. He was talking, of course, to Jewish people. And while we may have a little bit of an understanding about sheep and shepherding, perhaps with the help of Country File, we don't really have very much of a handle, I suspect, on what it meant to be a Jew in the days of Jesus and how important an understanding of the Old Testament scriptures was to what Jesus was saying to the Jews of his day. So I thought it would be a good idea to do a little pop quiz. Do you like quizzes? Apart from this little bit that we've read in John 10, where Jesus says he's the good shepherd, and apart from the psalm that we read together, Psalm 23, which is, of course, is about the shepherd, what other scriptures can you think of that talk about shepherd and sheep? Can you think of any other scriptures that talk about the shepherd and the sheep? Kate? That's right. So one of Jesus' parables about the lost sheep. Yes, that's good. Any other passages you can think of about sheep and shepherds? The early life of David, indeed, David was a shepherd. Indeed he was, which is an interesting thing, isn't it? He was a shepherd. Yes, anything else? At the time of the Nativity, that's right. God spoke first, didn't he, to the shepherds, which is an interesting thing, isn't it? As they were watching their sheep, and then, of course, they left their sheep, didn't they, in the fields, and went off to look for Jesus. Anything else? Joseph's. He did. Yeah, that's right. So there are a number of shepherds, of course, famously in the Bible, but I'm thinking specifically about, if you like, the scriptural teaching about God being the shepherd. Can we think of any other passages where God is the shepherd other than the Lord is my shepherd? In Psalm 23? See, the difficulty is that as Gentile people, as non-Jewish people, we tend not to have a very good handle on the Old Testament scriptures, particularly now that we live in the era of the New Testament teachings about Jesus. And so I thought it would be very interesting just to have a look at a passage, if you'll bear with me, in Ezekiel. Because in Ezekiel chapter 34, we read these. This is the word of Ezekiel the prophet. He says, and I'm going to read it in the Message. Ezekiel 34, he says, God's message came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherd leaders of Israel. Yes, prophesy. Tell those shepherds, God the Master says, doom to you shepherds of Israel, feeding your own mouths. Aren't shepherds supposed to feed sheep? You drink the milk, you make clothes from the wool, you roast the lambs, but you don't feed the sheep. You don't build up the weak ones, don't heal the sick, don't doctor the injured, don't go after the strays. And now they're scattered every which way because there was no shepherd. Scattered and easy pickings for wolves and coyotes. Scattered, my sheep, exposed and vulnerable across mountains and hills. My sheep scattered all over the world and no one looking out for them. Therefore, shepherds, listen to the message of God. As sure as I am the living God, because my sheep have been turned into mere prey, into easy meals for wolves because you shepherds ignored them and only fed yourselves, listen to what God has to say. Watch out. I'm coming down on the shepherds and taking my sheep back. They're fired as shepherds of my sheep. No more shepherds who just feed themselves. I'll rescue my sheep from their greed. They're not going to feed off my sheep any longer. God the Master says, from now on, I myself am the shepherd. I'm going to look for them. So here we have a passage that the Jews of Jesus' day would have known very well, where God condemns the religious leaders of the day, in Ezekiel's day, because they were supposed to be looking after their flock. They were supposed to be leading the people of Israel. They were supposed to be providing the right sort of environment for them to grow spiritually. And instead, they were just looking after themselves. The shepherds really had no interest in their flock at all. And God comes to them through the prophet Ezekiel and says, enough! No more of this self-centered leadership. You're supposed to be out there with the sheep, day and night, looking after them, making sure that they're safe, making sure that they have the right pastures to feed on. And it was with that background that Jesus comes and says, I am the good shepherd. And the people of Jesus' day would have thought, just a minute, isn't God the shepherd? Didn't God say, I myself am going to be the shepherd in Ezekiel? And here's Jesus coming along and saying, I am the good shepherd. Wait a minute. Is he claiming to be God? And sometimes we miss the point, you see. We think about Jesus as the good shepherd and we sort of have this nice little picture of a shepherd in his garb and with his crook, and he's sort of shepherding the sheep along and he's leading them beside the still waters, as we read in Psalm 23, you know, and it's all a nice little pastoral picture. But actually what Jesus is saying, I've come along and I am going to be the shepherd of my sheep. I can't rely on the religious leaders of the day. In fact, he was having a dig at the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees particularly. If you look in John 10 at the beginning there of the chapter where he talks about the man who does not enter the sheep by the gate but climbs in by some other ways is a thief and robber. And in verse 6, he says, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. He's actually speaking to the Pharisees. And he's saying, you're just a bunch of thieves and robbers. You're like the shepherds in Ezekiel's day. But I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one who's come to shepherd my sheep. And in doing that, he's saying, I am God himself. At the end of Ezekiel chapter 34, at the end of that chapter, after he's had a rail at the current mob of so-called shepherds, after Ezekiel's delivered God's message to them, towards the end of the chapter, he says this, therefore God the Master says, I myself am stepping in and making things right. He says, I'll appoint one shepherd over them all, my servant David. He'll feed them, he'll be their shepherd, and I, God, will be their God. My servant David will be their prince. I, God, have spoken. David, of course, has already come and gone. So who is Ezekiel talking about? Who's God talking about here? When he says, I'll appoint one shepherd over them all, my servant David. He's talking about Jesus, who's from the line of David. And so here, Jesus, in John 10, is saying, I'm the one. I'm the one. And this is what John wants us to understand. That in all these I am statements of Jesus, Jesus is saying, I'm the fulfillment of all those Old Testament prophecies. When he said, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the true vine. He's saying, it's all there in the Old Testament. Now I've come as the fulfillment of all of that. And it seems to me that it's really sad that modern day Christians generally don't have a very good understanding of the Old Testament. One church we went to, admittedly he was a young man, but he was asked what he thought of the book of Hebrews. And he says, well, I don't read the Old Testament very much. So he didn't obviously have a very good handle on the New Testament either. But do you know what I mean? We miss out as modern day non-Jewish Christians, I think, because we don't really understand all those prophecies of the Old Testament and how that they're all fulfilled in Christ and in Him alone. So what does Jesus say here? He says, and He says it more than once, that He is the Good Shepherd. He says it in verse 11. He says it again in verse 14. I think He's trying to make a point here, reiterating that He is the Good Shepherd and it's Him alone. Nobody else. There is no one else who can shepherd the sheep. And what does He say? He lays down His life for the sheep. You've probably heard that in the Old Testament times and right up to the times of Jesus, and perhaps even now in the Middle East, shepherding is a very different work than it is here in Britain or in Western countries. In those countries, people look after the sheep 24/7. On Country File that we were watching, one of the shepherds of these Herdwick sheep, he said, you've got to feel sorry for the sheep, really, because they're out here all day and all night on the hillside. He said, I can go home to my nice warm house. He said, you know, we get 128 inches of rain a year. That's a lot of rain, isn't it? He said, but at the end of the day, I can go home and get dry, where the sheep are out in the wet. But in the Old Testament times, and in the Middle East in particular, the shepherd stayed with the sheep. That was their life. They lived with the sheep. And at night time, they had a sheep pen. It was probably just a ring of stones to keep the sheep in. And Jesus, of course, said, I am the gate, didn't he? He says that earlier in this chapter. I am the gate. And the picture is of the shepherd lying down in the entrance to this sheep pen. So there wasn't a gate per se. The shepherd was the gate. And that ensured that the sheep stayed where they were supposed to be, and B, that other dangerous animals were kept out, like wolves. I came across an interesting story on the BBC News website the other day. In the north of Pakistan, in the mountainous regions, one of the animals that the shepherds have to deal with is the snow leopard. Beautiful creature, but of course very fond of sheep in all the wrong ways. And this particular shepherd, who lived in a small village up in the hills in northern Pakistan, Mohammed Khanis, his name was. He shared a story how a few years ago he was looking after the sheep. It wasn't night time. He was actually leading the sheep. See, that's something else that shepherds don't do much of these days in the West. They tend to stand back and they let the dogs, what's the word? Corral? No, that's not the word really, is it? Herd. That's the word. Herd the sheep into the pens or wherever, or into the areas that the shepherd wants them to go. But in these days that Jesus is talking about, the shepherd went ahead of the sheep. And so here's this shepherd, Mohammed Khanis, and he's striding along ahead of the sheep. He has got a dog with him, so they use dogs, obviously, in Pakistan to help herd the sheep. But all of a sudden he heard the dog barking, and he looked behind him, and one of the sheep had been taken by a snow leopard. So the snow leopard, there he is, with his teeth round the neck of the sheep. And of course the sheep's fairly big. So the snow leopard is thus hindered in his journey by the weight of the sheep that he's got to carry. So this shepherd instinctively started to chase the snow leopard. And there he is running along, and the snow leopard is running off with the sheep, and the shepherd is managing to keep up because the snow leopard's hindered by the weight of the sheep. And then all of a sudden, the snow leopard obviously comes to his senses and says, "What am I running away from this man for? You know, I can take him on, no problem." And so he drops the sheep onto the ground, and of course by this time the poor sheep is dead and there's blood all over the ground, and he stares at the shepherd. And the shepherd realizes, oops, all I've got is a little axe. And I'm going to take on the snow leopard? No, I don't think so. So he quickly ran away. And amazingly, the snow leopard didn't follow him. He said, "As far as I know, I'm the only person to have run away from a snow leopard and survived to tell the tale." So here we have Jesus saying that I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. The people who heard that would have understood what he was talking about. That a real shepherd, a shepherd who has concern for the sheep, is prepared to sacrifice even his own safety, if necessary, his own life, for the sake of those sheep. I don't know that you'd get many modern-day shepherds prepared to go that far. But Jesus says, "I'm going to lay it down, my life, for the sheep." In fact, later on, he says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." So again, he's saying, I have that ability, if you like, that surely only God has. Surely it's only God who's in control of who lives and who dies. So here he is again inferring that he is in fact God. And it's no wonder that, as I read in verse 19, that at these words the Jews were again divided. Many of them said he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? And wasn't it just this kind of statement that Jesus made that led to him actually being crucified? Because he was claiming to be God. It wasn't because he was a good man that they crucified him. It wasn't that he went around healing people and casting out demons. That wasn't the reason that he was crucified. He was crucified because he claimed to be God himself. So he's going to lay down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, he said, is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Here we have that reference back to Ezekiel 34, where because the shepherds didn't care for the sheep were scattered and they were attacked by the wolves. And the people who heard Jesus speak would have immediately thought of that passage, and there are other passages in the Old Testament that are similar in Jeremiah, in Zechariah, where the shepherds of the sheep are condemned. And God says, "I'm going to get rid of you shepherds, you worthless shepherds, and I'm going to come and shepherd my sheep instead." But I want to take a bit of a different tack, just by way of conclusion, really. What does it mean to be part of God's flock of sheep? What does that mean for us? Sheep are not the dumb, stupid animals that some people think that they are. They do have intelligence. But they're not the smartest animals either. They tend to like to be in flocks. They tend to like to congregate together. They don't always get on. And sometimes they wander off. And what does Isaiah say? We all like sheep have gone astray. Nobody came up with that reference, did they? We all like sheep have gone astray. We need to recognize that as sheep of the one good shepherd, we are all prone to stray. We need to realize that in fact we need a shepherd. See, if Mark, doing his run today, had turned up in London and said, I've come to do the London Marathon, and they'd said, well, off you go then, 26 miles, 385 yards, whatever it is, and he would have said, well, which way do I go? And somebody might have said to him, well, it doesn't really matter, just as long as you do the 26 miles and 385 yards, where you like, go off where you like. No, there's a course set, isn't there? And along that course, there are sort of waypoints, if you like, I think every kilometre, where the progress of each runner is taken, and where that perhaps they can get a drink, and they can be shown the way to go on from there. I guess it's pretty obvious because there's probably crowds along the way. But do you know what I mean? That we tend to just go our own way. We say, well, we've got our lives to lead, you know, we'll just make the best of it. But Jesus, as the good shepherd, says, no, that's not what I want for you. I want you to be my sheep, and I want you to go where I lead you, and I want you to be in the right place, in the right pasture, at the right time. And then perhaps, when you've been there for a while, I'll move you on to somewhere else. And if we're honest, perhaps that makes us a little bit uncomfortable to think that actually Jesus wants to be in control of our lives. He wants to be our shepherd. And we are supposed to be like the sheep, just going where he leads us. So, how do we know where Jesus is leading us? Are we looking to find out where Jesus is leading us? Or are we just assuming that, well, we're here in Faversham and we're doing whatever it is we're doing, and therefore I guess that's where Jesus wants us? Or are we actually seeking what Jesus' will is for our lives, where he wants us to go? In the psalm that we read together, Psalm 23, it implies that while he may lead us beside still waters and he may lead us to nice green pastures, the psalmist, who is David himself, of course, and knew a thing or two about shepherding, didn't he? He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I go through a very dark place, I'm not going to fear evil because I know that God is with me. So maybe Jesus is going to lead you through some difficult places. Maybe like those Herdwick sheep, you're going to have to be out in all the elements, so to speak, of life. And maybe you're going to have to go through tough times. But God says, I'm your good shepherd. I'm the shepherd of the sheep. You can trust in me. It occurred to me as we were singing that last song before we had the break, that in Revelation chapter 7, after the sealing of the 144,000 from the tribes of Israel, 12,000 from each tribe, and of course that's a bit controversial, as we might know, we read this. This is John speaking, of course. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I answered, Sir, you know. And he said, These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Jesus said, There are other sheep that are not of this sheep fold that I need to bring in. And here in the book of Revelation, we see who those sheep are. They're people from every nation, tribe, people, and language. And they're people who've survived the tribulation. They're people who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And what is God's word? The Lamb will be their shepherd. Now, there's an interesting metaphor, isn't it? The Lamb will be their shepherd. Are you one of those people who've washed your robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb? I hope you have. Maybe today you're not entirely sure what that means. Maybe you need to come and you need to say to Jesus, Boy, have I strayed? Have I gone my own way? Haven't I made a mess of things? Will you come and be my shepherd? And lead me in the way you want me to go? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that Jesus is the good shepherd. Only Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that from your word we are forced to make a decision about Jesus. Was he raving mad, like some of the Jews of his day thought? Or was he who he claimed to be, the living God? Lord, will you take our lives and will you lead us as a shepherd leads his sheep? Will you help us to surrender our lives to that leading so that we are in the right place, doing the right things? And will you lead us on, Lord, so that we can be amongst those who cry out, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. May we be people who can claim the Lamb, Jesus, who was slain, as our shepherd and as our Lord. For we ask in his name. Amen.
John, thank you so much. And if you want to answer that prayer that John has just prayed and led us in prayer, if we want to be part of the flock, if we want to follow the Good Shepherd, then we're going to be able to sing the next, our last final song together. It says, The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. I will trust in you. Your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. I'm going to invite you in a moment, when the musicians are up here ready to play and sing, to stand as we sing this. And by standing, we're saying, yes, that's me. I belong to this good shepherd. I will allow him to lead me. And if you are praying the prayer saying, I'm finding it hard to hear his voice because I have drifted a bit, I've strayed, then come home, because he's inviting you to do so. Let's stand and sing. The Lord's my shepherd.